Now, a Kerry woman living with heart failure has told how she and many of her fellow patients feel invisible. Pauline O'Shea spoke as new research shows more than a quarter of heart failure patients in Ireland feel abandoned after being discharged from hospital, and three quarters say their psychological needs to help them cope with the chronic disease are not being met. This is according to research from the Irish Heart Foundation. And Pauline O'Shea is originally from Tralee, now living in County Clare. With me on the line, Pauline, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell me about this situation whereby people are discharged. And is it just that the support services aren't there for them to deal with their diagnosis? Or what's the situation that you and others have lived through?
Well, basically, I suppose, in a nutshell, I would say, yes, you're discharged from hospital, or you might be sent home with the diagnosis without having been in hospital. As an outpatient, you might have received the diagnosis. Or indeed nowadays you can, through your GP with certain BNP bloods and things like that, you can receive the diagnosis. But what generally seems to happen in the aftermath, and certainly in my own case, was I was medically looked after in terms of what medications I needed to take and given some information on the condition. But I went home and really that's where everything sort of stopped in terms of supports, and I was really battling with the fact that I had just been told not only that I had heart failure, which is a terrible term to hear about, but also that, you know, I was told I had the heart of a 70-year-old, that, you know, some of my heart was dead. And I went home to a newborn, because all of this happened a few weeks after my third baby was born. So I went home to a newborn and a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. And to be honest, my ever-present thought for so long after the diagnosis was I could die any minute. You know, even holding the baby, I remember often thinking, if I die now, she'll fall. You know, these kind of haunting thoughts.
Yeah.
And there was...
Terrifying thoughts, really.
Terrifying thoughts, and it became like that. Like, you know, if I was doing anything with them, I was contemplating, if I die now, how will will one of the kids be able to call for help or whatever? You know, it was going on and on. But there were no supports in terms of somebody to talk to, or, you know, even I remember going to the GP and saying, look, I think I need to talk to somebody. Like, where? And I remember he just, you know, and he's a great guy, but like just said, I don't know really, you know, I suppose you could try X, Y, or Z, but of course that was all to go privately and that would have been very expensive. So I suppose one of the things, and it came up in this survey, 74% of people say that their psychological state afterwards needs a lot of help that they don't feel they're getting. And it's no surprise, you're dealing with a diagnosis that's lifelong. Can be life limiting sometimes. In the short term, I hasten to add, many people can live many years with the condition now due to medications and all that. But we need time to process and figure how we manage life without this, without feeling every day that we're, you know, the thoughts of dying every day and hundreds of times a day going through our heads. So yeah, there wasn't anything. I'm happy to say now, and for anybody listening, the Irish Heart Foundation actually does now run 6 free counselling sessions for patients who have been diagnosed, which is
very welcome.
A huge lifeline, lifeline. But I suppose what we really need is proper support in our own communities, because you know, this is it's a lifelong condition, and there's times where, you know, the whole issue surrounding it, even when you've setbacks and you might end up back in hospital, or there's bits and pieces, you know, it's not a linear upward journey. It's very wavy. So we do need access to psychological supports. And to be honest, outside of Dublin, there's maybe one or two places in Ireland that actually offer cardiac psychology. The rest don't have the service at all, so it's very much lacking.
Yeah, and Pauline, is it a situation when you come out and you're discharged, you've got this chronic illness. It may have come as a total shock to you that you're in this situation in the first place, that you almost you don't know the moment or day, or you can't trust your heart anymore. Something that was constant and there for all of your life. That has to have a huge impact on your mental health.
Yeah, it does. There's no question. I mean, you know, the rug is pulled out from under you. People can end up, I should just take a moment to say, heart failure, you know, the term is bandied about, but just to explain, it's where the heart can't pump blood properly around the body, and sometimes it can't pump blood through the heart or, you know, going out of the heart. That's what the condition is. Now, the medications are great and all that nowadays, and there's lots of therapies and options to keep people alive. But, you know, it's a frightening thought that this could be life-limiting. And, you know, I suppose I would always say as well, there was a load of questions I wanted to ask about it, but I was afraid to, because I was afraid, really, that the answers would kind of confirm my worst fears, which would be that my kids wouldn't see me grow up, or wouldn't have me growing up.
Yeah.
And, I was afraid to ask things, so I just kept it in. Of course, the downside of that, just because you don't talk about it doesn't mean that it doesn't, affect you a lot. And, you know, I was having anxiety, I was having real lows. I mean, you know, when I look back, and that kind of daily mantra of, will I die while I'm walking out to put on the kettle? Will I die while I'm, you know, going to pick up the kids from school? You know, there was this constant, it was like, it was just like a permanent feature in my head.
Yeah, and that wears away at you, I imagine, over time.
It wears away, it does. I mean, there comes a stage where you're just so tired from that daily battle. And a lot of people end up then having to take medications to calm the mind and all the rest of it. And sometimes, you know, there can be very effective, but, you know, again, it's not an answer long term in terms of coping with your mental health, because you really have to process it and come to a place of acceptance. And can I just, again, to give a little bit of hope to anybody in this boat, I did eventually get counselling. I was in there for quite a long time. And the good news is I did forge different thought patterns where now I feel very entitled to be here, and I'm 11 years on, you know. And when I say very entitled, I mean, you know, my frame of mind is different. It's feeling more the possibility. I go with, you know, the research. I go with the people I've met. And again, through the Irish Heart Foundation, I have and other patients can meet people like themselves at the same stage of life and learn
and to talk and learn from each other, which is very, very important. A listener gets in touch, underlining your point, Pauline, this morning. Just to say, hi, Jerry, had a stent put in February, out the following day, and not a word since. It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is. Because, again, you know, it's like your body, you know, you're trying, and our brains are very good at trying to help us survive. Like, we're programmed to do that, but to do that, it often takes account of every worst case scenario to do with anything we're involved in, you know, so that we're fully prepared. And again, a stent, you know, that's a thankfully they're brilliant at, you know, keeping people alive and keeping people well, but there is a psychological journey even with that. And again, it needs it just needs that outlet to be able to air your thoughts and have the reassurances that you need. So, you know, I think it's just hugely important. But unfortunately, I suppose, like many things, you know, it's currently not part of the package.
No. Something that's also not part, Pauline, is the guarantee of a medical card for working age parents. 40% don't have a medical card or a GP card.
Yeah. And this is another issue that's huge. And again, everybody seems to kind of walk into this one not you know, we assume that when people get sick in our country that they're looked after, or that they're you know, that they don't have other worries, but alas they do. And certainly in my case, when I was diagnosed, I was running a business at the time, which I couldn't do anymore. I mean, my heart function was at 10% after I was diagnosed, so I was barely able to stay awake for any length of time without needing rest. But of course, we still had a mortgage to pay. We had three kids. I was 38. And, you know, lots of people, when they enter this world, you know, in case there's a sort of a sense of, well, you must have done something to deserve it. You know, in my case, it was an artery that tore in my heart. And this was the legacy of a time period without diagnosis. And many people come into heart failure. You know, you might have cancer therapies, and it might be a byproduct to chemo. And there's all kinds of reasons. But the reality is, yes, if you're of working age, most households are two-income households nowadays. Mortgages to pay, kids to feed and put through, you know. And, you know, there weren't any supports, because I was self-employed at the time. It was just, no, there's nothing. But even since, you know, some people do qualify for some supports, but not everybody. And obviously, in order to continue paying a mortgage, usually one partner has to work.
Yeah.
You know, extra hard to try and pull that off. But still, we, you know, this survey again outlines that the costs of living post-diagnosis increase anyway, because not only do you have now medical costs on top of it with prescriptions and more GP visits and all of that, but then because you're home-based, you know, energy costs go up, fuel, all of these things. So it can be a huge struggle, and a real struggle for relationships as well, and trying to keep the whole
show on the road
going, you know. And it's on top of what's already a worrying issue.
Yeah. Would you be hopeful, Pauline Finan, that this will be listened to, this campaign will work? I know some things have been put in place by the Heart Foundation, but that the government would step in these areas, because it occurs to me, looking at statistics, that you know, people with this issue, they can account for more deaths than from cancer, and 7%
right,
of all inpatient bed days in Irish hospital, over a third, 36% experience 5-year mortality. So that would result in changes on that medical card side of things, and that psychological support. Finally,
I'm hoping. I was in the Dáil last Tuesday with the Irish Heart Foundation. We presented the survey. We had quite a bumper turnout of TDs, because can anybody really say they don't know somebody who has a heart issue? You know, I think it's you know, heart and stroke in Ireland, unfortunately, are huge issues. And the realities are, I suppose, up to now, we've looked at the medical management exclusively, and we haven't looked at what are the economic and psychological and social implications. There was definitely alarm expressed, and shock and disbelief. There's an estimated 32,000 people in Ireland, 65 and under, with just heart failure, and that's just one heart condition.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I think if we can harness the power of what was in that room on the day, and it'll be constantly working with them now to figure ways around the political system to allow some of the asks that we went for. And a lot of work ahead. But, you know, we've broken ground. I suppose if it was an oil well, we'd say we've you know, it's beginning to spout, and we hope that in time it will have, you know, a good haul from it for our heart failure patients.
Okay, yeah. Well, Pauline, thanks so much for speaking so eloquently about it and telling us the situation that you and many others have faced. We wish you all the best of good health as time goes on, and thanks for raising the issue.
Thank you very much. Can I just add one thing?
If
anybody's listening this morning who has heart failure, or indeed any heart condition, or even a stroke, the Irish Heart Foundation runs supports for patients. And I might give a phone number if
that's
okay.
Sure, fire away.
01-668-5001. They're also online, irishheart.ie. But do get in touch, because there are a lot of supports here now that are fantastic for meeting patients, and for, as I say, the counselling and giving you information, really, and how to live with the conditions you have.
Sounds great.